Back. This is episode 239 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal DeQuincy.
Yo, what's up? How you doing, man?
Pretty damn good, I must say. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. It's been quite a while since we had a podcast. An entire month. And once again, oopsie daisies, that's my fault. Although, it's not my fault for the usual reasons where I just forget to text you and you're like, oh man, I don't want to bother him. It's already Sunday. He's got things going on. No, this is the other usual reason why our podcast halts for a while. My last computer went to the big cloud in the sky.
Oh.
Yes.
We're talking on a new laptop, huh?
Yeah. My other one. The Acer laptop that I got refurbished and I installed all the new stuff. Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to turn the damn thing on and the Acer screen popped up and it turned completely off. And it wouldn't stay on for more than like 10, 15 seconds. I did all the little troubleshooting notes to try to get it working again. And it was just saying, let me die, please. It signed the do not resuscitate notice. I'm over here doing CPR. Like, please, baby, come back to me. It's like, I'm gone. Give it up. So, yeah. And I don't know what it is about this computer. Because after it went down, I was like, all right, I'll just go and buy a new one. The computer is like, the laptop's six, seven years old. You know, get on Amazon. I already know how to update it with the new RAM and the SSD stick and everything like that. So I hop on Amazon to buy this a new old laptop. Do you know how much they were selling these laptops for? A seven-year-old laptop, mind you.
Seven-year-old laptop?
Mm-hmm.
Man. $350.
Ooh, you got it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
This laptop, this 7-year-old laptop, was going for more than laptops that just came out within the last 2 years. I was like, I can't do that. I mean, I love that laptop and everything. It works. It was fast and it worked marvelous and everything. But I was like, I cannot shell out $350 for a 7-year-old laptop.
Right.
And so I was just screwed for a while. And then my girlfriend was like, you know what? You can just use my computer because she has a Apple tablet. She'll use her computer. So I was like, oh, okay. So over my vacation last week, what I did was I went through her computer and, you know, just hard reset everything and threw all the stuff I needed to do a podcast and watch YouTube and all the stuff. So we're back up. We're back.
Oh, heck yeah.
For now. Until this one says, you know what? I've had enough of this life. And shuts itself off. So, yeah.
Well, man, you know, I'm doing pretty good now. I mean, just all things considered, you know, where we're at in the playoffs. But last week was a little tough, man. I got my last Wednesday, I went for my flu shot at work. And they said, oh, yeah, we're giving out COVID boosters.
Uh-oh.
If you'd like one. Should we redact that word? Is that going to get us flagged?
No. I will say uh-oh because I know what's coming next.
Oh, okay.
You got both at the same time.
Got both at the same time. And, man, I never get – I mean, man, I never get a reaction with a flu shot. Like, I usually just get sick at some point. But man, this booster, this is like Wednesday morning at like 9:30. I was watching TV at like midnight, technically Thursday morning. I got up and man, just shakes and cold chills and, you know, cold sweat and just start feeling achy. And I was like, oh God, here it is. And man, it just knocked me out for like another full day. Like it was insane.
As soon as you said you were getting both, I knew that was happening because so many of my people, friends and like coworkers at work have said the same thing. Like, you're getting the double boost, the double shot, and you need to take off work the next day. That's why I'm like, I need to go to Walgreens and get one on like Saturday. So, you know, Sunday morning, I'm just watching football on the couch and moving as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I'm glad you got your shot, you know.
Yeah, it was a small price to pay, but we're set now. We're good.
Yeah, I'd rather be sick for one day than get the flu or COVID and be sick mm-hmm. for, you know, get flu, you're sick for like 3-4 days. COVID, you get long COVID shit.
Yeah.
6-7 months, you know. Yeah, man. I'm glad you're back up and at 'em, man. Really glad to see you. I got scheduled one for the entire household. All three of us need to go get them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get sick, and I for sure don't want Amari to get sick, because if he gets sick, what's going to happen is he's going to get sick at school and bring it home to me, and he's going to be sick for like 2 days because little children are like Wolverine. Meanwhile, I'm going to be feeling it for like 10 and a half days. I don't want that. Yeah, I don't want none of that. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's good talk. Good catching up. We haven't talked we haven't done this since last month. You can curse the computer gods, but yeah.
But man, I mean, you know, we've missed quite a bit to catch up on. I mean, mostly baseball. It's been business as usual at this point, it feels like.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of stuff has gone on. Before we jump into baseball, I just want to, you know, say NBA is coming back. The Rockets, I'm feeling it again. They got me. The bug has bit me. I'm ready for some NBA season again.
It's a good young core.
Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know if you heard, apparently they're going to have a bunch of games on Max.
Really? No, I didn't. Yeah.
Like, they're going to, like, Max and I think it's Bleacher Report. Is that who it is? Well, basically, like, the TNT games are going to be on Max, and they're free until, I think, either next January or February.
Oh, cool.
And then if you decide to keep it, it's, like, an extra $10 a month on top of your mm-hmm. Max thing. And they had the – I don't know if they're still on there, but they had the NL side of the playoffs up there on Max as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I
think I did hear about that. I think I heard that, but no, I wasn't aware of the NBA.
Yeah.
I tell you, another bug I've caught, man.
Mm-hmm.
Texans.
Yeah.
You know, I text you, you know, very carefully, because I don't mm-hmm. want you to think I'm like pushing all my chips in. Not quite, but, you know, realistically looking at that schedule, man, like, you know, it's very hard to do and most likely improbable and most likely not going to happen. But the Texans have a very winnable schedule the rest of the way. Stroud is looking he's the best. Mm-hmm. He's the best rookie in the first round, out of like the first round picks, it seems like, at this point.
I tell you, next podcast we do, when we talk about football, we're going to try to figure out who are the best seven teams out of the AFC. And the Texans may be one of those seven.
They're getting closer, man. Yeah. And another thing about the last week's game,
mm-hmm.
Stroud threw his first interception. What's that?
Got it immediately back because
the
defender fumbled on the return.
Insane. The best possible outcome of throwing your first interception is getting the ball immediately back. And then 2 plays later, throwing the ball with all the confidence in the world, as if like, okay, we got it over with. The streak is over. We're moving on. Everybody's been talking about this, you know, pass attempt streak. It's over. Let's just, you know, he felt looser after that. Just like, okay, we're just gonna keep throwing the ball, keep doing what we're doing, and it worked. And another thing, he got kind of banged up on a couple of sacks during the game, and looked a little beat up at the end of the game. And then I realized that, you know, they're going into their bye week this week, so it's like, it's probably the best time for the bye week to hit. Like, he looked a little banged up. He's getting a little extra time to recuperate and you know, get right and you know, make that march towards at least a wild card spot, like you had, you know, predicted.
Yeah, they also picked a good week to have their bye week because I can get out and do stuff with the family, because this slate of games this Sunday, ooh, there's like three good games all day.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be out doing shopping for Halloween decorations and a trick or treat costume for Amari. Whatever happens on Sunday, lead at the God, because I won't be watching any of that.
It's a good time to be a Houston sports fan, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been a while since you've been able to say that, like, simultaneously.
Please find some wood around you, knock on it. Please don't. Yeah. Oh, man, it's been, yeah, like you said, it's been a long time since you said that. The Rockets, you know, hope springs eternal with all the young guys they got, and think they trade away Kevin Porter Jr. Have you been keeping up with that situation?
I can't at this point. Like, there's a new development every day, it seems like.
Like, that woman, like, recanted, or she's basically everything. Saying, yeah. He's like, oh, that never happened. The police and the DA, like, made it all up. I never said it happened. I was like, oh, I don't know what to believe. I just know my experience as a Rockets fan becomes a hell of a lot easier if Kevin Porter Jr. is not on the team.
Right. And didn't one of the doctors say, oh, she didn't break her neck from getting choked? It's like, wait, so she has a broken neck? Like, what is?
Yeah, I'm like, it's the
and if so, how did that happen? What is going on? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm like, come back to me in a couple of months when y'all have the entire story figured out. Until then,
yeah,
leave me alone. So, like I said, the Rockets have hope with all of the young guys.
At this point, addition by subtraction.
Yeah,
you know, Porter has all the talent in the world, but
he's a knucklehead.
Just clearly. Just can't get it. Can't get his head straight, and you know, causes problems everywhere he goes. At this point,
yeah, we all got friends like that, though. The dude, you can think of someone right now. You know, a person in your life that can't do right to save their life,
right?
And you can't think of a person. Well, guess what? You are that person. So yeah, Rockets are cooking. Texans look like we're on a new era of playoff football with CJ Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. And what we're here to talk about, the Astros look like the Astros.
One more thing about Stroud before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Looking great. Keep that guy out of the massage parlors.
I don't
know. Keep him away.
That's where your mind goes. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Like, we can't go through that again.
I hope we don't. We probably won't have that issue again. That is a one in a million type thing. But moving on, let's talk about the Astros. Had that crazy come from behind victory in game five of the ALCS. Jose Altuve, 5'6", Mighty Mouse, does it again.
For the, 20? Sixth?
20, I believe, 26 career postseason home run, two behind Manny Ramirez for the MLB record. God, just a crazy back-and-forth game. Before we go any further, you got to give a hat tip to both Yonner Diaz and John Singleton for getting on base. Like,
yes.
Diaz getting a hit, like, That's what I expect him. Like, he's a great bat, especially when he's taking on a right-hander. Singleton going up there after not playing in almost 3 weeks and having the wherewithal to, or having the eye to not swing. You know, I'm like, I know.
By the time it was three balls and no strikes, I said, there's no way Leclerc isn't throwing it right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And he did for the next two pitches for strikes one and two. And a guy like Singleton with his power, with maybe his, you know, desire to, you know, make a name for himself, you know, put his ego aside and said, I'm not going to swing at these, even though they're pretty good. They're good looking pitches.
I'm going to get on base by hook or by crook, baby.
Yep. Yeah. And to his credit, you know, didn't swing at that changeup that was in the dirt. Because by 3-2, I was like, okay, he's either going to throw a slider or a changeup in the dirt just to get this guy, you know, just to throw Singleton off. And he did. And to Singleton's credit, he held it together.
Yeah, so I want to talk about them. Everyone gives a shout out to both of them. And also, Gray Kessinger.
Boy.
He makes that leaping catch in the bottom of the ninth where there are two men on and no outs. If he doesn't make that catch, at best, bases are loaded. At worst, at least one run scores.
I mean, making the catch, looking like Jordan after he hit that buzzer beater against Cleveland in, what, 92? The way his arms went this way and his legs went that way. Like, it was just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And to make that catch cold as he was, you know, not, again, another guy not having played in, you know, over 3 weeks. And having the pressure of replacing, for better or worse, whatever, you know, God knows I've had a lot to say about him throughout the season. But still, replacing the reigning defending World Series MVP, shorts, you know, rookie gold glove winner at shortstop.
I was going to say a better defender.
Peña, yeah. You know, in the bottom of the ninth, just being ready for that moment and capitalizing. It just one of the best, you know, 30-minute sequences in baseball history. maybe I'm exaggerating, but just an incredible turn of events.
Because when we went to the bottom of the ninth, and, you know, the camera pans around to show who's come in to defensively. So the camera goes to him and it's like, Gray Kessinger now playing shortstop. I said out loud, like, of course, I guarantee that he's going to have to field the ball because that's how baseball works. You're coming in and the ball's going to find you. And damn it, he found him, but he was ready for his moment.
So, the biggest catch of his life.
So, yeah, I want to give a shout out to those three guys before we start diving into the game. Because I feel like people are kind of overlooking everything that those guys did. Oh, and Ryan Pressly.
Another guy that I have had a lot to say about over the years. I love being proven wrong if it means that the Astros are winning. I have no problem being proven wrong.
Like, I'm gonna shove. He's got the ball in his glove. He's getting raised. Like, I'm gonna shove these words down Anthony's throat. Right. Yeah, man, coming out pitching the eighth and the ninth inning. The ball's on that guy. But we're here. Let's talk about Jose Altuve. When he came up, like, was there any doubt in your mind that he was going to get on base?
Not until I thought that Carter caught the ball.
Yo, man, I've watched that replay like 20 times today, and every time I'm shocked that Carter didn't catch it because he's caught every fucking lucky ball that he could in the first four games.
When the ball left the infield, I got up because I said, oh my God. And I saw Carter jump up perfectly. And I turned and I said, damn it, he caught the ball. And I turned right back around. I just kind of did a spin move. And next thing you know, Altuve is trotting around. And I'm just like, having to like redirect my emotions because I was like, okay, you know what? It's one out, no big deal. Okay, we got plenty. We still have two more chances. And then just immediately having to like redirect that energy into like celebration mode. Like, oh my God, he got it out the park. Like, I couldn't believe it. He got it over the fence. He missed. He didn't catch it. The sequence of events that took place in that like 30 minutes is just like one of the most intense I've ever been a part of, ever witnessed.
That was insane. Like I said, when he goes up to, when Carter jumps up to try to make the catch, when he came down his feet, I was like, oh, fuck, he caught it. But then he looked down all sad and dejected. I was like, oh, yes, he didn't catch it. I was like, I was taking so much pleasure in someone else's pain.
Right, right.
And a really good player in Carter. But
yeah.
I also was like, I was, that's when my sports fandom took over. I was like, oh, fuck you. You finally didn't catch one, you bastard.
Right,
was joy, jubilation, like all the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's Altuve who does it.
Of course. Who else? Who else was going to come up in that moment and do that exact thing and just knock it over the wall? You know, just. I'm not, you know, I am trying to be impartial, but I mean, seriously, I mean, well, at least, okay, I won't make a definitive statement, but I'll ask you this. Where does Jose Altuve rank amongst the all-time, let's just go there, all-time clutch hitters?
Man, this is very difficult for me because a lot of the things like the clutchness, like we remember the moments that people come through, we don't remember the ones they don't. So like the first person who comes to mind is, of course, Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And then the second person who comes to mind for me is David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with like them being on the broadcast booth. It has to do with like, I remember watching all those legendary Yankees Red Sox playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
And every time something like before 2004, anytime something needed to be done, Derek Jeter was the dude who got it done. And then from 2004 onward, it was David Ortiz making it happen. So those are the two that come to mind immediately.
I mean, you look at Joe Carter in the 91-92 World Series. You look at Alan Trammell, you think of Carlton Bisk, you know, waving the ball fair.
I'm thinking of guys who've done it more than once because you're naming their most iconic moments, but Jeter has a couple of those. Poppy has a couple of those. Like,
right.
Altuve is probably up there with those two guys.
I, you know, without sounding biased, I think major consideration has to be given to Jose Altuve as an all-time clutch hitter. You know, you can't be like, if you don't acknowledge that, then you're just being stubborn. Like,
oh, and there are too many people doing that online, let me tell you, boy.
Of course. Like, I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not a Red Sox fan. And I've never have been. I've disliked those teams more than anything. But, you know, to back up your point that Jeter and Poppy, you know, in their times, there's just no denying that they were the most clutch hitters for their teams. And you can't hate on that if you're not a fan of those teams. Like, you, like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, whether you like it or not, like, they took care of business when it counted most. And Altuve is doing that now. And whether you like the Astros or like the Altuve or not, you have to acknowledge that. Like, the proof is in the pudding. He's doing it time and time again.
I see, like I said, I've been online too long. People people believe the last presidential election was stolen. People believe anything, no matter what kind of proof you put in front of them.
Sure.
And, like, my favorite part going online right now is just the miserable Yankee fans, and I saw a video from Yankee fans like, oh, that little fuck did again. I'm so tired of him, blah, blah, blah. And all I can think of is, well, now you know how people felt every time Jeter came up the bat and did something.
Yep, exactly.
It ain't no fun when the rabbit's got the gun, huh? But yeah, to answer your question, I put Altuve up there with Jeter and Poppy. Those are the two that come. And I'm sure some of this is recency bias. They're probably players like I did not get to see because I'm under the age of 40 right now. But for now, those are the three guys that come to mind for me.
And you know, also to back up your point again, all the guys that I mentioned, you're right. Those were just one-time moments. You know, their biggest moments. Like, this guy is doing this almost on a regular basis. Like, no one moment is bigger than the other at this point. It's just second nature for him. It's old hat. You know, he's just it's what he does at this point.
He comes up and you're just better off walking him. Like, I'll walk him. And I'll walk Yordan, and I'll take my chances with everyone else.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's another good question. Like, you know, maybe it's not, but whatever. This is our show. I'm going to ask it anyways.
Yeah, not because
if you are Leclerc and you're in that situation, you run it back, would you just consider walking him to load the bases and no out? At this point, going forward now, not even looking back, but going forward, is that a consideration in that situation?
Maybe you try to pitch him around him, so it's like, okay, I'm just going to nibble, and hopefully he'll either, you know, he'll strike out or he'll ground out, or, you know, he'll give a weak fly ball into the infield or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And then, but even like what you say, if he just walks out Altuve, okay, now Bregman comes up, guy who's already hit a home run.
Right.
And if you happen to like get Bregman out, okay, here comes the big guy. Here comes Yordan Alvarez.
Right.
And he comes up, and now you're pissing down your legs. So you got nowhere to put him, the bases loaded. So, you know, I think Leclerc was just in a bad situation. And the reason he was because of all the drama that went down in the eighth inning.
Again, like I said on Facebook last night, I'm no expert, but I don't think it's a I'll get the quote exactly. I don't even remember my own quote. I'm no expert, but probably not a great idea icing your own closer trying to get a four out save.
Yeah, so in the eighth inning, there was a man on already. What's the name of the pitch? Abreu was up pitching for the Astros, and up to bat comes, what was it, Adolis Garcia? Yeah, Adolis Garcia comes up to bat. Adolis has already hit the, at that time, the what would have been the game winning home run
for Texas.
Yeah, for Texas. He pimped it out, did the back slam. No problem with that. You hit a home run like that. It's like what Verlander said at the game. That's the biggest home run of his career. Like, mm-hmm. No one in that dugout is mad about that. But he comes out, Abreu hits him first pitch, and Adolis...
In the arm.
Yeah, in the arm. But still, Adolis, first, he gets up, he starts jaw-jacking Maldonado. Maldonado's not trying to hear it. The umpire's trying to get in between them, and a little brouhaha, a little Donnybrook.
And Maldonado's safe because... He's not just wearing the regular catcher's mask. He's wearing like the hockey goalie mask. It's
the non-CTE mask. Yeah.
Even with all of Garcia's muscles, like he's not going to swing at a guy with like full on like protective helmet and, you know, body shields and all that stuff. Like he's safe. Like he has nothing to worry about.
He's dumb enough to think that the Astros were intentionally hitting him down to. And a playoff game, so who knows what goes through that man's head. So, you know, the whole Donnybrook occurs, bench is clear, you know, these two teams don't like each other, they haven't liked each other all, well, shit, 2-3 years now, mm-hmm. All the dominance that the Astros have put on the Rangers' ass. So eventually, you know, tempers cool down. Abreu gets ejected. Garcia gets ejected. Dusty Baker gets ejected.
Dusty gets fired up pissed. Before he gets ejected.
Yeah, he's pissed before he gets ejected. He's pissed during the ejection. He's extremely pissed after the ejection, where at the point where he doesn't even leave the dugout after being ejected. He has to be told again by the umpire crew to get out.
Yeah. And he read him the riot act, dressed him up and down the entire stadium. Once the hat came off, I said, oh, here we go. Easy Dust. Easy Big Dust. And then once the hat leaves his hands onto the ground, I said, oh, he's gone. And then 2 seconds later, the umpire casually turns around and just says,
all right, get out of here.
Like, that's it. But, boy, not before Dust gets his, man. I mean, this guy.
Good thing they didn't have microphones on the field, because I raised lips. There part where he's like, "This is fucking bullshit." I was like, "Oh Lord." Yeah, that's. I don't think I've ever seen Dusty Baker that irate before. But yeah. So all that goes on. It's like, it takes forever, because you have the whole situation with the benches clearing. Then after Abreu gets thrown out, Presley comes in and he gets as much time as he wants to warm up. And so the entire bottom of the eighth inning takes like 30 minutes. And that's like 30 minutes where your closer is just sitting there doing like just waiting to get back in the game.
Yeah. Just unable to help his team in any way in that moment, because you can't run out there and try, you know, get in the melee and risk getting injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're three outs away from taking full control of the series, you know, that, you know, one step closer to eliminating the defending world champions.
I'm not even sure if the clerk even left the dugout.
Right. No, that's
one of the things, like you think, oh, it's a baseball fight. They're not really going to fight. But it's like, you never know what happened. You try to run up those stairs, you trip and you twist your ankle, or you trip and you fall and you land on your knee. Then when you come out and try to pitch, you can't find a strike zone for shit.
Right. Before Garcia came up to the plate, I guess, from the time that the commercial break ended, between the start of the bottom of the ninth and just before the pitch that hit Garcia, at some point in that time, they showed Leclerc on camera with his jacket covering his arm. So, like, he's in, you know, cool down but don't get cold mode. Try and stay warm. Got the jacket, you know, got the little jacket over your arm. And you hear John Smoltz, you know, say, like, look, this is a good time. This is a great time for him, because he's going to get a few minutes to recover. And, you know, even if it takes a couple of extra minutes, that's okay too if you're Leclerc. And then, lo and behold, it takes almost 30 minutes, it would seem like.
And it's
everything to unfold.
His defense, 30 minutes is not a couple. So.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Smoltz was like, yeah, give him a couple extra minutes. Yeah. Like, you know, and then everything happens. And it's like, Smoltz even knew. And after Smoltz even comments, like, this isn't good. Like, this is not what you want for your closer. Like, I said maybe a couple of extra minutes, not 30 minutes of, you know, complete downtime for your closer. And in the end, you know, it came back and bit him.
And I think the worst part for the Rangers, that entire situation happened, like, there was no way Leclerc wasn't going back out there, because they only had three relievers they trust, and they used all three last night. That's Schwarbs, Chapman, and Leclerc. That's it.
And what's the rule on a pitching change? Your relief pitcher has to face three batters?
Yeah. Oh, so I'm sorry. It's either three batters or in the ending.
Okay, gotcha.
That's how Stanek was able to come in. He got that one pitch out, and then Hunter Brown started the next inning.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So I really wonder if Bruce Bochy gave any thought to, like, okay, it's been too long. I don't want to send Leclerc out there. I'd rather, you know, get someone else up, even if it's someone, you know, a worse pitcher. Like, that'd be better than sending this guy up after such a long break.
Right. Yeah, but I think, you know, in the back of his mind, he knows who does he have left? He had what, Chapman?
No, he had already used the three guys, Zorbs, Chapman, and Leclerc. Those are the three relievers that they trust the most. They had already used all three of them.
Oh, well, then after that, like, I don't even know who's left. So, yeah, I mean, you have to go with Leclerc after that, you know?
Yeah. So I want to ask you a question, because this is something I believe with my whole chest. Do you believe that if Garcia just walks the first after getting hit, the Rangers win that game?
I'm going to say yes, because Leclerc has been lights out the entire postseason up to that point. I don't know if he had faced Altuve, if Altuve's faced him during the postseason at all, if he was involved in any of the saves, any of Leclerc's saves. I don't know if Dusty goes with that game plan, or I imagine it's Dusty relaying the game plan to
Joe Espada.
Espada, pinch hit for Pena with Yiner. Mm-hmm. If Yiner gets on base, pinch hit Maldi with Singleton, and then pinch run for Singleton if he gets on base, and then let's pray Altuve does.
Well, then after that, it's like, okay, we got two men on with our big boys coming up. Anything's right. Possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Dusty makes that move.
Because I want also think about this. If Garcia just goes to first, it's first and second, no outs.
Right.
Because Abreu came in and walked the first batter and then hit Garcia. So if it's first and second, no outs, you got a reliever who's, you know, falling apart on the mound. Like, it's not just the Astros lose because Leclerc isn't waiting. It's also like the Rangers might put another 3-4 runs on the board.
Right. And, you know, I was going to – you got on a roll when you were talking about the – you know, when you were, you know, laying everything out. But I wanted to interject and say, you know, Abreu has been used, what, every game this series? So the idea that maybe he starts falling apart in that inning isn't so far-fetched, because the guy has been used at least an inning every game this series. And even in the division series. I mean, I think he's pitched every game this postseason.
Damn, you're making me have to do some work.
So at some point, you know, the worry that Dusty's overusing this guy, it seemed like this was the point where that was all coming to fruition, that this is the point where he's clearly been used too much. And maybe it was the best thing to toss him so he didn't have to work that inning.
What was game one, Sunday?
Yes.
All right, so Abreu has pitched in four of the five games. He did not pitch Thursday.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was a big lead. And then I think he pitched in the division series too, at least.
Yeah, he had to. Yeah. So Yeah, Abreu's pitched 4 out of 5 games. He has not thrown more than 17 pitches. He threw 9 in game 1, 11 in game 2, 17 in game 3, and only 6 last night in game 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's throwing the most pitches in the bullpen? It is. Would you fancy a guess? Who threw the most pitches in their appearance, I should say, out of the bullpen?
Brown, right? Because he pitched, 2 or 3 innings?
He got 33 pitches in game, was that game 4? But you were incorrect.
Oh.
It's J.P. France. He pitched 38 pitches in game 2.
That's right. Because he pitched, 2 innings as well?
So. Let me see if Fangraphs has the old playoff numbers. Two and a third.
Mm-hmm.
So, heading to game 6 tomorrow. How are you feeling with Framber Valdez starting?
Woo! We talked about this through text after game 2.
Yeah, I was not nice. I was, that's
all being, it's not about being nice. It's about being honest. I mean, you know, the guy has not pitched well.
Not at all.
He's like, and I'm not talking about the postseason. I'm talking about like the entire year. Like, I mean, what he did? Did he throw a no hitter this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Outside of the no hitter, like he hasn't pitched like the runner up to the Cy Young Award in 2022. That he, you know, a finalist for the Cy Young Award, like he was last year. Like,
I think he's like Javier, where it's like, there was an obvious point where it just went bad. Like, it started out well, then it went bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened to him. I'm going to look it up real quick while you keep talking. I'm going to look at his first half versus second half numbers, but I swear that's what happened.
So the idea that – should I go ahead and say what you said in that text?
Yeah, knock yourself out.
Actually, I'll find it so I can quote you correctly.
Quote me incorrectly. Who cares? I'm like, yeah, I said it. Put him on a ship back to Mexico. You'd be like, he's not Mexican. I don't care.
I would be fine with the team sitting Framber Valdez for the rest of the playoffs. That was Monday, 4:37 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I said it. Who's gonna fight? Let's
see. I tend to agree. I mean, at that time, I agreed with you. And maybe we've both cooled off on that idea. I would say if I have cooled off on that idea, it's not because of Framber, but I think that whole 8th and 9th inning of game 5, I think, invigorated this team and woke them up and reminded themselves that they are the world beaters, you know, that they're the team, that they are still the team to beat. And I think I think it was a reset for everyone that I think will ultimately benefit Framber.
I got some Framber stats for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, the way it's split up, first half, second half, but it's not like directly in the middle of 180 games. It like goes up to the All-Star break, and that's the first half. Anything after the All-Star break is the second half. So, first half, he pitched 111 innings with a 2.51 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, 87 innings, 4.66 ERA.
Dang. I mean, what do you attribute that to? You know, just fatigue from you know, not getting a full, you know, a full off season because your team is so good. You constantly pitch and play into October and sometimes November. You know, like this team has not had a full off season of rest in what, 7 years now.
Feels like forever.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they were coming off of the lockout. Everything was later. And then you follow that up with the world, you know, they follow up the regular season with the postseason. So add another, what's that, six weeks, 2 months to the season? The 6 weeks. And then after that, a bunch of the players went off to the WBC.
Right.
I think they had the third most players of all of any team in baseball went to the WBC. I'm looking at all of Framber's numbers right now, and I'm like, I'm going month by month. I'm like, oh, this isn't so bad. So April, oh, May, April, ERA 2.54. May, 2.18. June, 2.73. July, 7.29.
Oh my God.
And then August, 3.67. And September, October, 3.86.
Jeez.
July whooped his ass.
Yeah.
See, now that month had the fewest amount of innings pitched. You only pitched 21 innings, but you have ERA over 7. That makes sense. I don't know, but the beginning of the season, the first couple months of the season, he was the ace. And ever since then, he's been more of a third, three. Like, an ERA under 4, that's good. That's above average because of quality start. 6 innings, 3 runs given up. That gives you an ERA of 4.5. So he's doing better than that. For the last 2 months, but that July, I don't know what happened. I wish I'd been paying closer attention. I could dig into, and I, you know, been paying attention then. I was just whooping him decent. Well, we still see. I think the biggest thing I see between the first half and the second half is he's walking more guys. His walks per 9 went up, and he's striking out less.
Right.
And I think I can't remember if it was ESPN or The Athletic. They had an article describing Valdez's woes, and they were like, "Well, he's throwing harder, which means when pitchers hit the ball, they're hitting it." It's the exit velocity is higher. So instead of get those routine ground balls that he's known for, the balls are like scooting faster.
Right. So would you say he should ease up on the gas?
I don't know. The Astros have pitching coaches that get paid a hell of a lot more than I do to figure that shit out. I could not tell you what these. He just needs to go out there and just find a rhythm. I think that's most important. Like, just get the ball, throw ball, and just repeat it. Because you go back and look at his game to start, it wasn't like God awful. Like, you can see where the Rangers got to him, but at that first inning, there were a couple of balls that could have been that if the defense was a little better, they could have got out of that inning with only like 2 runs scored instead of 4.
Right.
I'll say it's like, I really want them to win. I don't want, if they lose game 6, I'm going to be sitting here thinking about the 2019 World Series until game 7 starts. I don't want to live like that. You don't want to live like that.
Right.
I want it over in six. I want the Rangers to walk into Minute Maid Park, feel like dead men walking. That's what I want. That's what I need. Let's just finish this, because I don't want to give them any glimpse of hope. Because right. Rangers, they are a really fucking good team. And you give them an inch, they will take a mile.
That lineup is...
There are no holes.
Yeah.
There's no holes.
I've said this a lot about a lot of teams, but, you know, look, when you're the best, when you're the champs already, you know, you're not comparing the best to other teams. Mm-hmm. What happens is you compare other teams to the best, and, you know, this is another team where their lineup is very similar to the Astros, I feel like. Those early championship, that early, you know, the, like 2017, 2018 and 19 teams, where there was just...
There's no reprieve. If you're a right. starting pitcher, you're in for hell for 3, 4, 5 innings.
Because at one point, the Astros were facing Leody Taveras in the 9 hole, mm-hmm. and he was hitting a home run. Like, that's a good lineup. Like, yeah. again, not a fan of the Rangers, don't like them, but you have to acknowledge when they're hitting and they're hitting well, and you have to acknowledge that they are a dangerous lineup. And, it's definitely, you know, reminiscent of early Astros, early golden era Astros.
Yeah.
The only difference is I still feel like the Astros have the better pitching overall. Now, they're throwing out Eovaldi on game 6, who's been hell for the Astros, mm-hmm. to the Astros. But the bullpen, I think, is still stronger.
Agreed.
And Framber, look, we were taking it out on him on Monday just because of what we saw. And, you know, it's hard not to. But if he is on, if he's anywhere near that 2022 form, that's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
If he's anything like he was the first 3 months of the season, they win.
Yeah.
Also, someone, Astros management, interns, whatever, go down to the field before the game tomorrow or mm-hmm. today when you guys are listening to this, because I'm dropping this on Sunday. Someone needs to go out and like seize the entire field. There are some demons in Minute Maid Park. I don't know. There's no other way to explain how they're so bad at home and so dominant on the road. Go out there with the sage, walk from the behind home plate, go all the way around on the warning track. You need to get every inch of and blade of grass, sage it all.
Do you think the ghost of Junction Jack is has decided to come back and haunt this team? This is my time. This is my moment.
If so, I need Orbit to get blessed by the church and become a priest and go take him down.
Right.
I need something. Something needs to happen. You can't explain. No one can explain it. Someone asked Dusty about it earlier. He was like, oh, it's my fault. I asked them to be a good road team. I need to ask them to be a good home team as well.
He's been hanging out with Mike McDaniel too much. The Dolphins.
So have you been paying any attention to the NLCS?
Just on the box score at the bottom on the Chiron on ESPN. You just flipped it. Like, I saw that Arizona came back and won in extra innings to tie the series. And I'm like, what? Because
I'm like you. I can't, especially after that game last night, I couldn't watch, man. My blood pressure didn't go back down to normal until I woke up this morning.
No, but like, you know, Philly started out the series playing, you know, like the best team in the National League, like playing like a team that's about to go to the World Series again for a second time, for a second straight year, actually. So, yeah, and their starting pitching is strong. And Schwarber and Harper and Turner all turn it on once the calendar flips to October. They just you know, get better at this point. So, yeah, I mean, it looked like a foregone conclusion that, you know, they might not sweep the series, but they should, you know, be done by game five. And lo and behold, we're going into game five and the series is now tied. And I didn't see that coming. I didn't see Arizona fighting back that much to tie it at two games.
Arizona just feels like they're playing with house money.
Yeah.
We weren't supposed to be here. People didn't think would they get past the Dodgers. They beat them. Who did Arizona beat in the wild card?
They beat Milwaukee.
Yeah. And before the playoffs, all I heard was, oh, Milwaukee's rotation, you know, unflappable, and, you know, Arizona was like, we embrace chaos, bitches. We do not care about your rotation. And they just blew right past them. If the Astros make it to the World Series, like, I think either matchup is cool. You either get a repeat with Philly, mm-hmm. or you get to see Arizona. And once again, the last team that the Astros faced at the regular season, they beat in the World Series. And I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That happened to Philly last year. Wow, yeah. I forgot about that. Yep.
Yeah, and I believe.
You think baseball is going to change the schedule next year and say, okay, the Astros are not going to play.
They're just not going to play last week. We're just going to throw in six wins. So last year the Phillies clinched at Minute Maid Park, and then this year both the Astros and the Diamondbacks clinched together at the on the same day, I believe.
Yeah, same day.
Yeah. So if the Astros make it, you know, I'm not going to wood because I'm not going to sit here and disrespect the Rangers or jinx the Astros. But if they do make it to the World Series, either matchup, I'll be very much happy with. If they don't, I will pretend the World Series doesn't exist.
What series?
Exactly. Speaking of the Phillies, that reminds me of this tweet I saw last year during the World Series, and it's still matters. Someone said last year, the Houston Astros are a perfectly engineered baseball machine of death. No one in their right mind would challenge, but the Philadelphia Phillies are the "that sign can't stop me because I can't read" personified as a baseball team. Yeah, like you know me, I like the analytics, I like numbers, but I also like dudes coming up and hitting dingers. I love Kyle Schwarber. Like, I'm just going to go up here and try to hit a ball 600 feet. Who's going to stop me?
His regular season stat line is the grossest I've ever seen.
It will be studied by sabermetricians for years to come. Because he did not hit over 200.
He hit like 196, I think. 196 at 7 8 or 8. Let me tell you how preposterous that season, that stat line is. IBM's Watson is not even going to be able to figure that shit out. Like, and that thing knows everything, apparently.
When artificial intelligence finally takes over, the machines will stay up late at night wondering how the hell that happened. That's playoff. Okay, that's cool. Almost tricked me right there. 197, 47 home runs, 108 RBIs, 104 RBIs, 108 runs. On base percentage of .334. Somewhere Adam Dunn is just looking at a picture of Kyle Schwarber and smiling and nodding. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. So we'll keep up with the NLCS and see who makes it to the World Series. Let's talk about some losers. How about that?
All right, let's do it.
Let's talk about these sorry ass teams who try to use the break that they earned for winning their division as the reason why they got knocked out of the playoffs.
Let me real quick. Let me go back to the Astros on that. Mm-hmm. Because if you have been with us all 239 episodes, you know at some point that at multiple points of this show's history, how much I stress the importance of consistency and expressed hesitation when the Astros do get a prolonged break period, you know, during the playoffs. And you've always been like, look, I'd rather have the time off, you know, to reset, basically. Mm-hmm. And this year, I didn't consider it as much. I wasn't as concerned about it.
You know why?
Why?
Because they fucking won the World Series last year with the same break.
Right,
that's
right.
The thing, I'm sorry. That's the thing that's been just mind-numbing, just annoying the absolute dog shit out of me. Is hearing Braves and Dodger fans talk about, well, they got their break was too long and they were rusty and those other teams came in and they were high for winning the wild card and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, y'all know, first off, you know what the playoff format is going mm-hmm. in. This is the second year we've done. It's nothing new. These teams, right. you had the bye last year. Like, it's nothing new. You knew this going in. If you didn't want the bye, then you should have won less games. Mm-hmm. Tank some games. Bring out the AAA squad to lose right. a series or two. The second thing, I don't want to hear this shit. The Astros did not lose a game last year until the World Series. And they had right. the same days off as the Braves and the Dodgers did this year.
Exactly. And so to that point, it's like, I think I've gotten, I'm at that point now where I'm okay with it until, you know, until I'm not okay with it. And that would be if like the Astros had gotten knocked out in the division series or they, you know, or if they'd lost this series quickly or something like that, you know? So for other teams to, and not just like, look, if the fans do it, if the fans are complaining, I get that. Because you know what? That's just what fans do. Fans are always going to be like that. We're always going to be irrational for the most part.
Fan when it comes means to, fanatic.
Right. When it comes to, you know, protecting the teams that we root for and things like that. Mm-hmm. But when you have executives, when you have sports writers, when you have, you know, people that work for –
dog, if I ever meet Bill Plasky, I'm going to slap the taste out of his mouth.
right.
Last year, he wrote that article, but like, oh, we shouldn't even have the World Series. Just hand it over to the Dodgers. And they went outside in mm-hmm. the NLDS last year. Go outside again in the NLDS this year. And like, they had too long of a layoff. No one can do this. This isn't fair.
Yeah. If you're in a position of influence, and say even like if you are an executive or you know someone that you know if you're a talking head that people really listen to, then you don't deserve that spot if you're calling for these sweeping changes, because you're letting your personal fandom that you know you're supposed to keep separate, you're supposed to keep you know you're supposed to maintain you know, an unbiased nature when you're covering, you know, sports or, you know, teams or whoever. And for these people to call for these sweeping changes just because the World Series isn't going to feature a team from from Los Angeles, or it's not going to feature a team from Boston or New York, it's just uncalled for. And it's just pathetic that this is, you know, a discussion. You know, I get, and again, if it's a fan, if it's just a regular guy like me, you and me, I get that, because I would probably be the same way if the Astros were in this position. But, you know, these professional writers that, you know, are supposed to maintain, you know, we talk about integrity and protecting, you know, the business of news reporting and writing and things like that, to not maintain that unbiased nature is a lack. It shows a lack of integrity, and you know, for whatever reason, whether you're a fan or you just prefer that these series have a team from LA and a team from, you know, New York or something like that. It's disgusting at this point, for me at least. And it makes me not want to follow these people or to read their, you know, their works, because it's clearly going to be biased. It's not going to be like, you know, it's not going to be a piece of, like, you know, journalism of integrity.
Yeah, it's just bullshit. They want to find an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way. That sums it up in my rant.
Yes. Yeah. You have a 5-minute speech for something I can explain in 2 words. That's his podcast in a nutshell.
It's why it works.
It's just an excuse. But it's not even a real excuse. You know why all these higher seeds went out this year? It's because their pitching wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting pitching wasn't as good as the lower seeded teams that they played. You go to Atlanta, they had Spencer Strider, Bryce Elder, who was a nice 3-4 starter, and then they were trying to, you know, make Max Fried work. Max Fried coming off an injury.
Yeah.
You would go to the Dodgers. Okay. Clayton Kershaw. Okay. Sure. That's who you want to go with? Like, we know his playoff record. They started Lance Lynn in game 3 in a game they needed to win. And then who was the second starter? Was game 2? What? Who was it?
Was it not Gonsolin, was it?
It was a young dude. I know that much. Nah, it wasn't Gonsolin. Because he's got Tommy John. Was it Bobby Miller?
Man,
like, it was a young dude. And then Baltimore pissed me off, because coming into the season we said Baltimore didn't do enough. I remember I was saying they had the room under the cap to go after someone like Carlos Correa.
Right.
And also Carlos Rendon, but we'll ignore that for right now. I was like, you guys have the money to make moves, and they didn't. And then when the trade line came, they had, you know, the opportunity to make more moves, and they didn't. And here they went outside.
It was Bobby Miller, game 2 for the Dodgers.
It was who?
Bobby Miller. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was a young dude. Yeah, so the Dodgers have a choke artist, a young dude, and
an old dude.
And Lance Lynn. As their 1, 2, and 3 stars. You knew that. You should know going in that wasn't going to work. Atlanta had Spencer Strider, a decent Bryce Elder, and Max Fried coming off an injury. Come on now. Baltimore, who was it? It was Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez. And Grayson Rodriguez, he's a highly touted prospect. He's still young.
Right.
He's only 23.
So it's like with the Braves, you know, you can't predict –
can't predict injuries.
A guy that you're relying on to get injured, mm-hmm. That's unfortunate. The Orioles, you should try to improve your team when you can. Open up the purse strings a little bit. Go out and get at least one impact guy, especially on a team of so many young guys that might need that veteran presence to kind of steer them, help them navigate these waters.
And also, talking about the Orioles, you never know. Like, all I heard after the Orioles got knocked out was like, oh, they're young, they have an opportunity, you know, the window's open. I'm like, you don't fucking know this. The Orioles thought their window was open after 2014. It took them 9 years to get back to the playoffs. You don't know. Like, if I told you after the 2021 playoffs that the White Sox were going to miss the playoffs for the next 2 years, you'd have been like, oh, that's not how that happened. Like, you do not know. Injuries could happen. These guys could be less effective next year. You have no idea. So you have to strike while the iron is hot.
All those young guys on that team that all came together and were so impressive. Would you be surprised if, maybe not all, but if a majority of those guys go through what they call the sophomore slump?
Look at the Mariners.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. You're right.
We both thought the Mariners were going to make the playoffs this year, did we not?
they were the team I was most concerned about.
People pick the Mariners to go to the World Series to win the thing, and they didn't make the playoffs, and they're a good young team. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. And then when you're the Dodgers, you know, they kind of do it to themselves when one of your most reliable starters beats the hell out of, you know, allegedly beats the hell out of, you know, his partner, his girlfriend or spouse or whatever, you know. What's his kid's name? Urias. Urias. Yeah. If he's available for the playoffs, then you don't have to necessarily rely on a rookie to pitch game two. You don't, or you may not have to rely on old man Lynn for game three, you know, like your team needed you the most and you completely let them down. Because of an alleged, you know, incident.
Yeah. Sometimes I really hate the fact that we have to throw that alleged in there. It's like,
you want to get sued, as Willie told Bart.
Look, if they're listening, if Urias is listening to this podcast instead of trying, you know, not to
clear his name,
clear his name, he's got bigger problems,
right?
So. The Dodgers had a week. I think Dodgers had a bad pitching rotation before he just went out and did whatever he's alleged to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they. I'm sorry to keep harping on this man. You know, apologies to him. But they brought in Lance Lynn to stabilize their starting rotation. Lance Lynn had an ERA of, I want to say it was above four with the White. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out. What was his ERA? Or he got sent to the Dodgers. Partial seasons. Oh, it's going to be nasty. Damn, I was low. It was 6.47. And he with the Dodgers, it was only 4.36. This is the guy you brought in to help.
Right.
Yeah, just nasty work from the Dodgers. Yeah, the layoff didn't have anything to do with these. All three of these teams, the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Orioles, had weaknesses in the pitching rotation that they never fixed. Now, the only person, like the only team I think you can give a little bit of pass to is the Dodgers. I mean, the Braves, because Morton went out. Like I said earlier, Free wasn't healthy, but. Even with that, they like their pitching isn't it's not great. I mean, you got Strider, like he's great, you know, he'll give you 13 strikeouts a game, but he gives up home runs in bunches.
And the fact they had the best offense in baseball and they were of no use in this series. Like, it's one thing to have a good offense, you know, to have a really good offense. And then the idea that, well, you still need pitching. You still need pitching to win. That's tried and true. That's you know, it's a concept that I you can't deny. But when you have the best offense in the game, like at some point, at least one game, your offense needs to lock it down for you and hold it together and, you know, give your pitchers a chance to reset or, you know, get right. And they didn't even, they couldn't even do that. Like it just.
Yeah. I'm looking at the NLDS. As you're talking about their offense, they played four games. You know how many total runs the Braves scored?
Six,
eight,
eight. Jeez.
Shutout in game one. They got five in game two. That was when they won, two in game three and one in game four.
Man, that is just
you got this elite number one best offense of all time, and y'all can't do more than average two runs a game. Like Arizona scored 11 in their first game against the Dodgers.
That's right. It was a beatdown that first game.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't want to hear anyone talking about the layoff. The problem was your pitching wasn't up to snuff. It just wasn't. Mm-hmm. So earlier when I was heading home, I was thinking about who's going to win the awards, you know, MVP and Cy Young.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, is this going to be the first year where all four of the big ones, AL and NL, Cy Young, AL, NL, MVP. I was like, did none of them make the playoffs? But I think the two contenders for the NL MVP, Mookie Betts and Acuña Jr.
Yeah,
they made the playoffs because the AL MVP is going to be Shohei Ohtani. He didn't make it.
Right. He didn't even finish the season.
No. The AL Cy Young is going to be Gerrit Cole. Didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And NL Cy Young, I believe, is going to be Blake Snell.
He didn't make either.
Mm-hmm. Bad. Oh, I should show you, like, it don't matter. You can be the individual. You can be the best player in the world. You can't do anything without your team behind you.
Yeah. Braves had three guys that hit 30 plus home runs this year. 40 plus home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Acuña Jr. with 40, Ozuna with 40, and Olsen with 54. Just insane.
And what did that give them? Four whole games in the NLDS. One more thing about the Dodgers. The further we get from 2020, the more worthless that ring becomes.
Boy, you're not kidding.
2021, they went out in the NLCS against the Braves. Last year, they got knocked out in the NLDS by the Padres. And then this year, getting knocked out by, I'm sorry, getting swept by the Diamondbacks. Like, no one respects that ring at all. And every year, it just looks worse and worse. Like, you can't even get back to the World Series. Like, Philadelphia will get back to the World Series twice before you guys do. That is bonkers. Anything else baseball wise, my friend?
Yeah, man, I'm set. Like, I'm just excited about game 6 on Sunday. I think we've been through this enough to not just give a definitive, like, this is going to happen. So all I can say is just, like, let's just get it done. Let's get it done tomorrow.
I feel better about the Astros' chances on Sunday because the Texans don't play.
Okay.
Any of my Houston listeners will know it's like two good things can't happen to a Houston sports team at the same time. So I believe Texas won last Sunday. So of course the Astros lost.
That's true.
Game one. So like there's no Texans. So Rangers, y'all in trouble. Coming to hell. And please, somebody. Groundskeeper Willie, please save the place. I know you know where to go.
I'm out of retirement.
Oh, that's right. He did retire. Somebody help us. Someone call Groundskeeper Willie. Help. But that's all I got, man. Like you said, I am excited for game 6. I'm excited for the World Series, along with the Astros in it. Always happy to keep laughing at the Dodgers. Whoever goes in between the Phillies and the Diamondbacks, gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's it. Oh, one more thing. I don't ever want to hear anything from any Blue Jays again. You guys are frauds. I don't believe you. You need more people. It's been the same thing for, 2-3 years now? I remember when that crazy year that Vlad Jr. had afterwards, he was like, that was just a trailer. Now you guys are going to see the full movie. And I'm like, oh, so it's a DC movie where you feel you tricked me with the trailer, but the movie is shit.
Yeah, that window's closing pretty fast.
All right. About time to get up out of here. I know you got... Is UFC tonight?
Oh, this is afternoon.
Uh-oh.
They fought in Abu Dhabi today.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to get up out of here. I got Spider-Man to play.
Oh, man. The trailer looked really good. It looks like a really good game.
But it is one of those, this is worth buying a PlayStation 5 for. It boggles my mind that you are not into video games. It boggled. My mind boggled.
My attention span to invest the time into completing a game, it just didn't click growing up. I don't know.
I want you to find a PlayStation 4 and go play the Spider-Man games. It was Spider-Man and then Spider-Man Miles Morales. Just great games.
No, I should give it a shot. Yeah. You're right. I'll look into it. See what I can do.
I will. Next time we meet up, I will let you borrow my PlayStation 4. I will let you be all the Spider-Mans you can handle.
There we go. That
force is here collecting dust, baby. All right. So it's time for us to get up out of here. We'll be back next week. We'll talk a little more football. We'll talk about the World Series because it'll be started off by then. Halloween's right around the corner. So I have an idea for what we could tier our next tier.
Ooh, okay.
So I got some, got some ideas popping up here, some percolating.
There we go.
All right. Thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing. We appreciate it. I saw the numbers for our last podcast. You guys must have missed us because the numbers were booming.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And wherever you decide to listen to this, please leave us a 5-star review. Helps with the algorithm. Makes us feel appreciated. And it's nice to hear from our fans. All three of you. We appreciate all of you. Yeah. All right. So it's time to get up out of here. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Laters.